We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The ultimate football team. The ultimate football show. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI. The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda. By Gould's Distinctive Clothing. And by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett along with Pete Davidson. Week 11 of the NFL season, the Fantasy Football Hour here at WEEI. Pete, how's it going, bud?
It's good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. It's kind of a fun day, I think. You know, we get Pats coming on at 1 o'clock, and the emergence, the long-anticipated first start for one Taysom Hill. I'm a little jazzed up about it. If I remember correctly, you, like me, in the Scott Fish Bowl, which is 1,440 teams across America, did you take Taysom Hill with your last pick like I did? And if you did, are you firing him up today?
I don't know about firing him up, but I might. I have to look. I can't remember who my other quarterbacks are. I've got like four quarterbacks. Yeah, he's definitely on my team. I don't think I took him with my last pick. I might have gone a little earlier.
Yeah. I got him with...
I think my last pick was... I can't even remember. But I think I took him like 17, 18, 19, yeah. Somewhere in there.
We draft... just so it makes sense, we draft these teams like in July. You know, so it's a while ago.
Yeah.
But Hill was my last pick, and I've got... I've been rolling with three quarterbacks, and it's a two-quarterback league with Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill. I got Allen on the bye, so I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to pop Hill in there, and I'm excited to watch him play. I think it's going to be fun. The thing is, that's kind of fun with on ESPN.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely fun on some level. I mean, it's not fun if you have Michael Thomas or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, I just look at he could do it. They pretty much use him in every role, which to me is fun.
Hill's fun. It's just not fun if you have any other Saints.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, I've got Kamara in that league. I'm going to play him in, but
Kamara, you might be okay.
Yeah,
because he's going to get volume. But I mean, Jameis Winston keeps the car in the tracks for everybody. So just from a fantasy perspective, I would prefer Winston. This is a spectacle. I like Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you surprised at all that Peyton went with him? I'm not. I feel like he wants to see this guy. My whole feeling a lot of people were just kind of dismissing Hill early, like there's no way they're going to play him. I kind of was just like by myself, as many of us are during the pandemic, thinking like, I don't know, man, I think he's going to fire up Hill. I'd want to take a look at him in full game action if I were Peyton. Like, see what he is. You know, snippets of it.
I don't know. I mean, this is not an exercise. It's a football game in a real season. So it's whoever he thinks is going to help him win the game. I guess he thinks that's Hill.
Yeah, I think his gut instinct. Look, I think he's following his gut instinct. And
I don't think you want Taysom Hill starting for your NFL football team. And if you do want that, I think you should reexamine. But we're talking about him or Jameis Winston. If Jameis has been throwing picks in practice the way he throws picks in the game, I can see Peyton being like, yeah, you know, blanket. Let's play different, you know. And like you said, I mean, I think it's going to be fun to watch. But this is a fantasy show, so I know for 90% of the fantasy world, this is just a nightmare.
Well, look, one thing in fantasy that's kind of interesting, I don't know if you play in any leagues with ESPN, but ESPN is allowing him to be tight end eligible at least yeah. this week. That's kind of fun.
Now, not exactly a news story. This is like the most overexposed thing on Twitter. But yeah, I guess in some websites, they'll allow him to be a tight end, which is obviously stupid this week. He shouldn't be tight end eligible when he's a starting quarterback. But absolutely, if you play in ESPN, I also believe on FanDuel, you can play Taysom Hill as a tight end. So and you get salary relief as well. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, like Hill's a better play than Kelsey.
I was going to say a tight end.
You're on FanDuel.
Yeah. Look, at I was a tight end. He's to me the tight end, too, because just by being out there as a quarterback,
he's the tight end one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's right there.
I don't care. I don't care who's act. I don't care if it's Gronk in his prime. I mean, you don't play a tight end over a quarterback. You just don't do that.
Yeah. So,
you know, I mean, this guy's going to touch the ball, you know, probably 10 times as a runner. And he's probably going to throw it 25 times.
Yeah.
I mean, his point floor is so much better than a typical tight end.
Yeah. And then the goal line too. Right. So, I mean, we'll, you know,
yeah. Oh yeah. He's a touchdown scorer. I mean, this guy's, you know, probably the best, comp you can come up with for this guy is like, just, you know, imagine Tim Tebow with speed.
Mm.
That's sort of what this guy's like. I mean, he doesn't throw it any better than Tebow, I don't think. But he's the same type.
Does he have that screwball that Tebow used to throw that would like break the wrong way?
I don't know if it's quite that bad, but it's similarly ugly. But you know, unlike Tebow, this guy gets into the open field, he pulls away from people.
Yep.
That's the thing about Taysom Hill that I think surprises some folks sometimes. Now, unlike Tim Tebow, Taysom Hill got hurt all the time. You know, like his body reacted to that type of thing the way a human body would normally. I mean, Tim Tebow was a tough blanker.
Oh, yeah. It's a freak, physical freak.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked about this a bunch of times, but it's a shame that Tim Tebow didn't have a Taysom Hill-like career where somebody believed in him, where he could hang in the NFL. Because yeah. Tim Tebow is definitely an NFL player. You know, whether he should have been a starter or something like that, well, that's sort of different. He sort of falls into that Flutie category.
Ask the Steelers what they think of him. He sent him home in the playoffs.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the playoffs, yeah. So, I mean, Tebow's that thing where, like, it's a nice idea for someone else. I think that's the way most head coaches look at it. Like, yeah, I could see why, but I'm not putting my career on that.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's well said. Another story I wanted to kind of get to before we kind of got into things a little bit is the activation of one Sony Michel yesterday. Now,
God.
Yeah, so we didn't need another muddy backfield here, and I don't know, Pete. I mean, to me,
it was already muddy.
Yeah, yeah, especially from a fantasy perspective. I mean, you had like, I mean, I always think, you know, Burkhead is flex worthy on many weeks. Harris was literally just starting to feel like he was the main guy. I still feel he is, but now obviously, you know, you don't activate Michelle without visions of playing him a little bit. So
yeah,
I think
Fort and Mellon. If Thornton Mellon was asked to describe this backfield, I think he'd say something to the effect of, you know, Burkhead and James White are water signs and Harris and Sony are earth signs and together they make mud.
That was one Thornton Mellon about his ex-wife, I believe.
Yeah, she's an earth sign. I'm a water sign.
Together we make mud.
But I mean, it's that kind of backfield. Like you said, it's muddy and there's just worse than muddy. Now there's just too many.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't like three-man backfields. Now we got a four-man backfield. And you know, obviously the Patriots could care less about making our lives easier or anybody else's lives easier. So, you know, I guess the interesting question here is going to be if all four are healthy, are all four active?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the guy who I think gets,
are you sure? Because don't they have, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of special teams, which one of those four players, which ones play on specials? Burkhead
would be one. Yeah, he'd be on the coverage team.
Right.
I don't think they'd put Harris back there anymore. I mean, he dabbled a little bit, you know, when he got a taste earlier. But I mean, he's the lead back now. So you know, whether that goes from, you know, 15 to 20 carries to like 12 to 15 or 10 to 15, I don't know. But I just, in the eyeball test, when I watch Michel at his best, you know, this time of year in 2018, and Harris the last few times I've seen him, it's not close. I mean, Harris is
I'm a Harris guy. Yeah. I like Harris. But they activated Sony. I mean, that's got to mean something.
I would think.
I mean, they could have just not activated him, right? So, I don't know. In the past, they haven't really used four of these running backs because they've had other running backs who play specials, like Brandon Bolden,
yep,
and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering how that all shakes out. Because for this year's Patriots team, I think specials are more important than ever.
Yeah, know? No, they need it. They need to get
field possession.
Yeah, field position, the wins there, any sort of stops or gains they can get on special teams, they need. They're playing in a lot of tight games. Today could be one of them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about this team a lot. And I mean, like, if the Patriot defense this year was the Patriot defense last year, I think this would be a compelling team that would be in any football game it played.
Yeah.
You know, with this year's defense, it's a little tougher.
It is. What the strength of this team is this year is the offensive line. You know, they can dictate the way they want to play when they're healthy. Right. And that's really the strength. And, you know, on the other strength, I'd say, would be the defensive backfield. And you get Gilmore coming back most likely today. They've been playing well without him. So those are your two areas of strength. But you're right. I mean, the defense first 8 weeks of the year last year, they were dictating what they wanted to do on any given week and wreaking havoc, schedule aside. But it's not the case this year. Now, they can scheme it up, you know, pretty well, and I think they'll be able to scheme it up to defend against Houston today. I don't have a, you know.
Yeah, and Belichick defenses certainly tend to get better towards the end of the year, at least historically. So maybe that happens. Maybe they just sort of tighten everything up. Maybe the game plans get a little more nasty, a little more uncompromising.
I think that's interesting.
It is nice to see.
Week, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Cam can continue. You and I talked about it, I think, 2 weeks ago. But, you know, did the COVID actually have some kind of effect on him as an athlete? It sort of looked like it may have, like his first week or two back.
It's feeling like that, Pete. It is, because if you look at how he played,
I mean, before, you and I haven't had it. I don't know what it's like to feel COVID-y.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, look at it. I guess he was asymptomatic, but you don't know. But if you look at the way he played in the, you know, look at the Seattle game, all right, but the games before Denver. I mean, Denver, the story in that one is a little muddy because the line was really depleted that game, and a couple of guys, at least one, got hurt in-game, if I remember correctly. So the Denver game might be the outlier, but, you know, the next week against San Francisco, terrible. And now he looks like, look, it's not great, but it's efficient, and he's playing, like, you know, efficient football.
He looked a little heavy-footed at one point in that first game back. And I mean, like, you and I haven't had this. I don't know. You know, it's a lung disease in a lot of ways. If you're a major athlete and you're constantly working out and you're in phenomenal shape, even if you just have to shut things down for 10 days and you're not heavily symptomatic, that's going to have an effect.
Of course.
Anyway, sorry, we'll get out of this rabbit hole, but the point is, if he continues to sort of get his legs underneath him and gets back to being the explosive guy that we saw early in the season, and the defense gels a little bit, save for the elite teams out there, I can see the Patriots winning just about any football game they're in.
You play to win the game.
Thank you, Cam. No, he's right on the money. I mean, I think they have a great opportunity to right the ship today and get to 5-5. We talked about it a little last week.
But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we talked.
I was going to ask you: is there a buzz up there about next year? I'm guessing that there's a pretty big swath of Patriot fans who don't want Cam back next year. I'm wondering if the organization has tipped its hand in any way that I haven't heard about.
There's been some talk about that. Like, some people think he would be an appropriate bridge quarterback for next year. I don't know where I am on that yet. I think I need to see more. I need to see kind of where they land up in terms of draft position and what the draft class from like the fourth or fifth quarterback back looks like. What the available free agents will be. So
whoever the quarterback is next year, they need to get better players. I mean,
no question.
I mean, I remember that year we said, oh, Brady's got nobody to throw to. Even that year wasn't as bad as this.
Yeah, I think that was 18 and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. They it in a different way, you know. But
I mean, basically, it's like nobody on the field and we've got Jacoby running the Antonio Brown role.
I know. There.
It's just, it's insane.
They need to get better.
But I mean, I mean, I'm not as heavily caught up in the rooting part. So for me, it's still sort of fun to watch. But yeah, I mean, you've... You, just because Cam isn't accurate doesn't mean he doesn't need weapons.
Yeah. All the more reason, right? If you're not a tight window thrower like Brady, give him someone who can get open on their own and make it happen. So, you know, they need to fortify that. You know, Myers is really a nice find, an unsigned free agent who can obviously get open and has kind of figured out how to catch the ball. But, I mean, you know, if you get a guy like Harry, you gotta hit those picks, and they just haven't been able to.
Yeah, the Harry pick definitely is coming back to bite them a little bit. And it's interesting, just in terms of the way it took not having Edelman around to do the Myers thing. Right. Almost like looking back at it, I would think that the Patriots, being the Patriots, would have found a way to get those two guys on the field together earlier.
Yeah, Belichick's so tough to figure out, Pete. You know, we've talked about it a million times, but like...
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I don't...
I think you're right.
From my point of view, it seems like they should both be on the field. Maybe the route trees that they run are just too similar and they didn't want to take either guy out of their comfort zone. I don't know. But based on the way Jacoby has played, and it's not like this came out of nowhere, right?
He played well last year. Yeah, he made an impact last year.
This is a guy who's shown some acumen really throughout his stretch as a Patriot. So
it's
sort of odd.
Yeah, in training camp last year, Pete, in 2019 training camp, he was the name that was popping, you know, and you forget, you know, Harry went down early. Harry was out like all of training camp that year. Then he went out for 9 weeks. So like Myers was the guy the eyeballs were on, and he looked pretty good. And he's fantasy relevant.
Yeah, same kind of
right
thing.
Now,
good
too.
Hands, tight route runner, gets out of his breaks pretty well. Good head turn is, you know, he catches the ball well. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like.
He's fantasy sort of relevant too.
A better version of Braxton Berrios.
I think, it's significantly better version than Braxton Berrios. But, I mean, he's also...
Berrios has been one of the best Jet players.
I know. I know. As I said, we'll maybe do it on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday, Thanksgiving morning.
Oh, boy.
And I've been saving a lot of your Jet skinnies in the Rotobahn Weekly Rankings. I'll unleash those on Thursday.
I don't think the general audience will appreciate that as much as
they're,
you.
They're pretty
we'll
calm.
Give it a shot.
That's true. All right. So look at the line of questions.
You enjoy my pain.
I do. Well, I mean, you're witty about it, so that's what I enjoy. The text line's humming, 37937 with line of questions, and we'll hit those throughout the day.
There's so many 50-50 calls out there.
A lot of them, yeah, and you're going to see them on the line coming in.
I need to go get my magic eight ball for the questions.
So let's set the stage a little bit, and we'll get into some of those questions and plays throughout the week that we can hit. But here's who's out this week. The guys you know about, we talked about significantly at the top of the show. Drew Brees, obviously. What broke yesterday with him is that he has 11 broken ribs. Yikes.
That's amazing.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I've broken
a rib.
It's
like the short ribs, long ribs.
Yeah, I mean, I've broken a rib, and that's enough. I mean, 11. Wow, that's tough. He's on IR 3 weeks, and that's
and
not
he was arguing
heal.
To come back in the game, I heard.
I know. Yeah.
He was getting on Peyton's case.
Yeah. I don't think
that just shows you like how an adrenalized athlete can make some really bad decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's a warrior. Yeah.
No doubt. But 11.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, I mean, respect for Breeze for, you know, for wanting it that bad. Yeah. But sometimes you get so amped up, you just can't even hear reason.
I can't see 11 ribs healing in 3 weeks. So we'll see what we get with Taysom.
Certainly not in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see what we get with
Taysom. I think you're right, though. I mean, you know, sometimes these injuries sound so bad, and then we find out it's really just a bunch of little hairline fractures, and maybe he could be back. But I think, didn't he have a punctured lung, too?
Yeah.
So that would indicate some fractures of the non-hairline variety, I'm pretty sure.
I would think so. So you will not be seeing him for the near future. Another big one that not on the offensive side of the ball.
Which, by the way, sorry to cut you off, Jim, but that leads to you and I had the question of what is Hill like this week and is it going to be fun and what does it mean for the team? But the bigger question is, given that Breeze is going to be out 3-4, who knows how long, is Taysom Hill going to be starting next week? That's probably the money question.
Yeah. I mean, he's still on a lot of waiver wires. I mean, you know, it's like I kind of looked at him a little bit. And I'm like, you know, I mean, in one league I already had him and it made sense. In another league it didn't so much. So, but it's going to be interesting to watch. So we'll see how that plays out.
I guess my point, is if you're in a super flex league and you landed Jameis, don't cut him just yet.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think that's smart. I think that's smart. One thing I wanted to get to on the defensive side of the ball, because it's just a tasty matchup for the Browns defense, but no Myles Garrett.
There's a lot of defensive stuff out there. Yeah. Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
The Ravens are going to be playing without a lot of their defensive linemen. The Titans have a lot of problems with Clowney out and Adoree Jackson. So there's a lot of missing defensive players who are going to have a big impact on offensive production.
Right. So if you saw rankings like on Thursday, a lot changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to kind of, if you have questions, you can send them in at 37937. But that's a big one I wanted to hit. In Philly, Zach Ertz is obviously out. Mixon for the Bengals is out. McCaffrey's out. You know that.
How the Mixon? Can you believe that Mixon thing?
I know.
Oh my gosh! What a brutally bad beat for folks who have him on their team. I mean, you know, he was questionable the first week, and then he got ruled out late.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then the next week, you thought he was going to play, and then the next week, you thought he was going to play. And then they put him on the IR, and you still don't have a really specific reason why.
Yeah.
It's so brutal.
Yeah, it has been brutal. And, you know, Gio Bernard, you know, he's a port in a storm, you know, so he's been.
Okay. Even Samaje Perine has some value.
He's getting picked up, so as a goal line guy. A lot of injuries in Detroit to get to, okay? The Lions are, not our favorite team to talk about, but they're going against the Panthers. There's a lot to talk about in that game. But no Kenny Golladay, no DeAndre Swift, no Danny Amendola, and they have Stafford. He's just got basically nobody to throw to except for Marvin
Jones. And Stafford's got a pretty significantly damaged thumb
that
almost knocked him out.
Right.
So this could be this is an interesting one, right? Because Stafford could be in a situation where he wants to throw more short stuff, and you're missing all of these short area guys like Amendola and Swift.
Yep.
So that should elevate the value of Hockenson, and it could elevate the value of Marvin Jones as well.
Yeah.
And you could see Jones running more intermediate and short routes.
Yep. And you've got that guy Marvin Hall. He got a long touchdown.
Marvin Hall, yeah. He's a flex now. You could use Marvin Hall if you needed to.
Other side of the ball there, the Panthers have had a great offense to participate in fantasy this year. You know, obviously McCaffrey's been a bummer, but, you know, Mike Davis has held his own, but the receivers, Pete, you know, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, you know, showed last week, and we kind of predicted that. Yeah, but here's the problem is that Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, down with a knee. Now, he's actually a game-time decision. He practiced a little yesterday, wants to test it. I think he's a true game-time decision, and, you know, maybe that elevates – your Panthers receivers that you're a little bit worried about going into today.
Yeah, I think if Bridgewater's playing, then I think you downgrade them like 10%. If Walker is playing, you downgrade them like 40%.
Yeah, I know nothing about him. I don't know where to tell you.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, Teddy Bridgewater's not the greatest quarterback in the world. He is a really good fit for what Carolina does offensively.
Yeah,
he's a smart quarterback. He works his tail off, so he knows everything. He gets the ball out. You know, he's not a hold the football guy. He knows the play. He finds the path of least resistance, and it's out. You bring in, you know, an inexperienced quarterback. It's just not gonna work the same.
Yeah.
And with McCaffrey out, it's an even bigger problem, obviously. Davis is looking a little run down after so many workloads in a row.
He's definitely slowed down the last few weeks. I mean, if you have him in fantasy, you've seen it. The production just isn't there.
And don't get me wrong. You got to play Davis this week. He's going to get a workload, and the Lions just stink when it comes to stopping running backs. So the matchup is wonderful, but it would look a lot better with a fresh Davis and Bridgewater under center. That's for sure.
Yeah. It also looked better if McCaffrey could have avoided getting injured when he came back.
McCaffrey would crush in this matchup.
Yeah,
oh my.
Yeah. That was talk about a bad beat, man. You know, you couldn't IR him, and it kept percolating that McCaffrey was going to come back. He comes back, he kicks butt out there the whole game, and he gets hurt again. So that was kind of a bummer.
No. Anybody who drafted McCaffrey, it's just been a really rough year.
Yeah.
Really rough year.
Yeah. He can't say goodbye. You know, at least
so many bad beats in the first round.
Yeah. At least
so many bad beats in the first round.
At least with Barkley, you know, you could say goodbye and reset. But McCaffrey,
right. Barkley was clean. It's like he's gone. Forget it. Move on.
I had the luck of losing both of them.
Yeah. No. Like, but you're right though. With Barkley, if you made a good early move, you might be able to get yourself out of it. But with McCaffrey, you sort of play the waiting game. He eats a roster spot. And then it's just one tease after another.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
At least the last one didn't happen in the first quarter. At least you got a good game out of
it. Well, did I? I can't remember if I got a good game out of Barkley.
Well,
not.
Yeah, you found it. The shoulder happened right at the end of a big game.
That's right.
You know, that's better than like Barkley went out, I think, on the third play.
Yeah.
So not only did you lose your big player, you got a big fat zero in your lineup too.
Right. All right, we'll get back to more negativity. I'm just kidding. We're going to get back. The text line is humming at 37937. We will hit your lineup questions, and we'll walk the slate a little bit coming up after the break. Sports Radio, WEEI.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, we're back. The Patriots are looking to get to 500 this afternoon, as we just discussed. Against the Houston Texans, the Pats have activated running back Sony Michel off IR. He'll play in his first game since week three. The team has also called up wide receiver Dante Moncrief from the practice squad. Wiggy Fourier and Rich Keefe will take you right up to kickoff at 1 p.m. on NFL Sunday. And then Steve D'Ossi, Fred Smirlis, and Glenn Orway have you covered with the real post-game show directly after the game right here on WEEI. As we just discussed on the Fantasy Football Hour, Saints quarterback Taysom Hill is expected to get his first start against the Falcons today. Hill replaces Drew Brees, who was placed on IR this week with 11 fractured ribs. The basketball. According to Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe, a sign-and-trade between the Hornets and the Celtics centered around Gordon Hayward is still being discussed. I don't know. Hayward signed a four-year, $120 million deal with the Hornets yesterday. I've got a pretty ugly article on WEEI.com coming up. You can check that out. Blasting them for that whole situation. Anyway, I'll get off that. The Celtics locked up center Tristan Thompson in a spot of good news and guard Jeff Teague in free agency late yesterday. Thompson comes to the Celtics on a two-year deal, while Teague is signed for a one-year deal with the Celtics. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. More Pete and Jim, more Fantasy Football Hour coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to the Fantasy Football Hour. Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Sports Radio WEEI, Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, the Fantasy Football Hour. Got a lot into the Pats, Taysom Hill before the break, and those stories. Getting some injuries and catching up on who's playing, who's not. And we're going to hit your text and we'll walk the slate a little bit. Let's see here. A couple things I wanted to update. Before we actually jump in, Pete, can we talk about Sammy Watkins? Does he need to go on TB12? I mean, you know, honestly.
You read my rankings, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I sort of called him out a little.
Did you?
A little bit. I mean, I'm sort of being a blank. But at some point, you have to wonder if this guy's in good shape.
Yeah, dude, he's been injured his whole. I mean, every year.
Not a fair thing to say. Maybe this is sort of random. I mean, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but at some point, dear Lord, I mean, Sammy, this guy gets hurt getting out of his car
all the time. Yeah, and by the way, he's looked a lot bigger. You know, he's always a big guy coming out of college, but he's bulky. Yeah. I just don't think he's stretched properly. Stretch, man. Go to TB12.
I mean, look, he gets all these soft tissue injuries, and then he shows back up at practice for 20 minutes and gets another one in a different area. Yeah. I mean, look, it could definitely just be random bad luck. So I don't want to drop too much judgment on the guy, but it does really sort of reek of a guy who's not putting in the work.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Quick little update here on injuries. So Jacksonville, LaVisca Chenault is out. Miles Gaskin is out. Yeah. David Johnson, you know, Duke Johnson will be running against the Patriots. Let's see, yeah. Sammy Darnold.
One more week of Duke after this one. Yeah,
I think so. And then
CJ's on IR, three-week IR.
Yep. And he was a concussion, right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yep.
So he's in the dark room for a while. Darnold's out. Watkins, we just talked about. Minshew and Humphreys both out. Ridley's back.
Significant thing with Darnold and Flacco is that Joey Bosa's back, by the way.
Ah, I thought he was going to be back next week, so he's back a week early.
Yeah, that's a big deal because right tackle for the Jets is a disaster. So look for Bosa and Flacco to get up close and personal many times today.
That's a good one. And then a couple in the late games. So one early one I want to get to. Dez Bryant's active. So, hey, good for him. You know, long road for Dez Bryant. I don't know if he'll do anything. I'm not playing him.
It'd be so cool if he caught, like, one of those remarkable Dez Bryant skying in the end zone, like landing on his head, touchdowns. That would be pretty cool.
Been a long road for him, so I'm glad that he's made his way back to the NFL. Good for him.
Yeah. Dez is being Dez, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. The sad thing for him is that the image I always have of him is that great catch that wasn't a catch in the playoffs against
Dez
the Packers.
Caught it.
Yeah, he
Dez
caught it. Caught no it. Question he caught it. No question he caught it. Let's see. And then late games, Drew Lock.
Calvin Johnson caught it too, by the way.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Down with that. 4 o'clock games, Dolphins, Broncos. I think Drew Lock is expected. And Breida's going to play. You know, finally get a full load of Matt Breida.
I don't think you get better, like, defensive start situations than the Dolphins this week.
Yep.
They're $3,400 on DraftKings, by the way, and I think they're a value even at that price. Look, I actually think Drew Lock gets sort of a bad rap. I think he deserves some time to find himself as a player. He's a young kid playing like his fourth offense in 4 years on a team that's sort of, you know, a fire drill on a lot of the weeks.
Sure.
But look, he's going to be out there playing this week with bad ribs, protecting himself, you know, behind a porous offensive line that's not really healthy against a very tough defensive front. So, Drew Lock picks this week. If he doesn't throw two, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, and a well-coached defensive front there, right, too.
And I think a strip sack fumbles in there as well, plus a couple other sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Miami doesn't score double digits today, I'd be surprised.
And on the other side of the ball, you've got Matt Breida finally getting the juice, a guy that I have a lot of respect for. I know you do as well.
Yeah, I like finally Breida. Getting the chance. The way Salvon Ahmed is run, I don't think Breida's getting a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's if Breida gets half, I'd be surprised.
Huh.
I like Breida.
Yeah.
But Ahmed's just run well. I mean, Miami has let the hot guy go most of the year. I hope they give it to Breida because I've got a bunch of Breida on my teams. But
Salvon Ahmed was drafted by the Niners, right? Correct. And then they cut him, or did they get into a trade? But, the reason I bring that up is because
he's a nice little back.
Yeah, the Niners, no running backs. That's why I bring it up. So, you know, pretty good player. Shall we hit some texts, help some people out as we roll through here?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Before I get the text, a lot of them are concerning A.J. Brown. Did I miss something with him last week? A lot of A.J. Brown questions. Why are people questioning A.J. Brown?
I can tell you that. But before we do this, let's just one quick thing about start-sit questions. For folks out there, folks, if you've got a coin flip, don't sit there and spend your morning on a coin flip because it's a coin flip. And there's nothing you can do about it. Mm. I've never seen, you and I have both done it ourselves. You and I have called each other asking which side of this coin should I start.
Absolutely, right. Yeah.
Like I get the mental place that you're in, but you always want to spend time on the stuff that can actually help you with the decision. So if you've got a 50-50, look for something real to help you break the tie. You know, don't just go ask for someone else's opinion on the 50-50 because a coin flip's a coin flip. It's better to go out and look for something like, hey, Joey Bosa's back. Ooh, that's going to hurt my quarterback. Mm. Like, these are the types of things you want to help find you break a tie. Otherwise, just go with your gut. And there's a lot of those things this week. So, like, Jim and I will sit there and tell you what we think. We'll give you our gut. But on a 50-50 call, just do what you think is right. As for A.J. Brown, I think the reason people are so scared is twofold. One, he didn't do anything last week, did nothing. But then I think a lot of people go back and look at matchups. And when he played the Ravens in the playoffs last year, he did nothing, nothing. I think that's where all the trepidation comes from.
Well, we get about seven texts with A.J. Brown in there. And to all of them, I just say, like, honestly, I'd play him. I know this trepidation. We'll walk through them. I want to get your opinion on them. But
in all honesty, and no, I'm not going to insult the texters. I was going to say something. But look, I think if you bench A.J. Brown this week, it's a donkey move and you deserve what you get.
And I'll just
That's
add
what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I just want to add into like what you were saying. Like, we get a lot of questions on Twitter, you know, and like in any of them, when someone says, hey, I'm leaning on this guy, I'm kind of thinking about going this way, go with it. You know, because most of the questions that you surface, most of them are as Pete said, 50-50 calls. So if you have a gut instinct, the thing I think about is, at least I went with my gut. Because if you go against your gut, that's when you start regretting every decision you make every Sunday and Monday.
Right. When it's a 50-50 call, don't look for someone to bail you out on the decision. Make the decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with
you. Because there's nothing worse than letting someone else make the decision for you and having it be wrong.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of times people come to you or me with a thing, and maybe they've got a little bit of vapor lock going on because there's decision stress, and you and I help them sort of see the clear path because we're not emotionally involved in the decision. Like, that's how good lineup advice happens. But just asking for someone else to make your 50-50 call, it doesn't really serve anybody.
Yeah, you're right. 207, he's got, is, am I crazy to play Andy Dalton today? I wouldn't say that's a crazy play. Start with that one.
It's not crazy, but I need to know what your other option is before I,
yeah,
you know, like, I wouldn't play Dalton over Tom Brady, but I would play him over Jared Goff.
Yeah. Or Matthew Stafford, maybe.
Yeah.
Who's hurt.
Matthew Stafford, yeah. and the Galladay-less Matthew Stafford with the bad thumb. Yeah. Good example. You know, and with A.J. Brown, I mean, if my other receivers are Terry McLaurin, Keenan Allen, and Julio Jones, okay, yeah, maybe I'll bench A.J. Brown this week. But, you know, people rolling up on Twitter asking me if I should bench A.J. Brown for Jalen Reagor or Corey Davis,
yeah,
or Denzel Mims. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, could Mims outscore Corey Davis? Of course he could. But, you know, Corey Davis could have three touches and take two of them to the house.
You mean A.J. Brown?
Excuse me, A.J. Yeah. Brown. So, you know, you have to understand the nature of the player. Yes, you know, sometimes a Titan player can disappear in a game. There is that risk. But A.J. Brown's a monster. He's a monster.
Yeah, that's why you drafted him. That's why if you have him on your team, I'm guessing you got him in the first four rounds. I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? And just for people who are worried about A.J. Brown, let me give you a little bit of solace, because I was looking at this yesterday because I had so many people asking me. If you look at A.J. Brown's two big games this year, the games where he's gone over 100 yards and scored touchdowns, one of them was against the Steelers and one of them was against the Bears.
Mm.
Teams that got after the quarterback in a big way. And he's playing the Ravens this week, who get after the quarterback in a big way. So I think what you're hearing there is, you know, he's going to be the dump off on a lot of these. He's great after the catch. And Humphreys is out this week.
Right. Yeah. So
and Jonnu Smith has a tough matchup.
And Jonnu Smith hasn't been the same the last few weeks either. He's been, I mean, I think he looked better last week. He had a little, like, one of those kind of gimme pass touchdowns.
He's a player who can get lost in the flow.
Yeah,
and he's a really good blocker. Sometimes he just gets caught blocking 70% of the time.
He had an ankle like 3 weeks ago, didn't he, though? Do I remember that correctly or something?
I don't recall him having an ankle, but he has had ankles over the last couple of years.
Yeah. He does have two functional ankles. let's get to some of these. Well, that's good stuff on Brown, though, because we have a lot of Brown questions. So I'm going to roll through the ones that are relevant.
Just remember, last year when he came up empty against these guys in the playoffs, I mean, I can't remember the exact stats off the top of my head, Jim, but Tannehill threw like 15 passes or something in that game.
Yeah.
It was a strange game. Derrick Henry was running all over the Ravens, and they just basically, they said, we're going to keep doing this until you can stop it. And they weren't stopping it. So, you know, it was a strange game, and it's not the kind of game that repeats itself. So I just wouldn't be too worried about it.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Let's roll through some of these. So 781 has got Terry McLaurin or Chase Claypool. Nice options. Can you play both? But I'd go with McLaurin.
Yeah, playing both would be good. I would go with McLaurin if I had to bench one of them. I'd bench Claypool.
Yep. A lot of questions here about one Joe Burrow, who actually I like this week.
Yeah, I like Burrow this week too. I might have him a touch high in my rankings, but I really like him.
Yeah. So some of the questions. So you got the Bengals playing at the football team in Washington. Matt Ryan or Joe Burrow?
Okay. Just I wanted to look at this. Ryan Tannehill threw 14 passes in that game.
I remember it. Did Henry? Is that the
14?
Did Henry go for 200 in that one? Like
Derrick Henry carried the ball 30 times for 195 yards.
Yeah, there you go.
And Derrick Henry threw a touchdown pass as well in that game.
That's right.
It was a bizarre. This is what I'm telling you. It was a bizarre football game. Like you don't want to make lineup decisions based on what anybody did in that game.
Yeah.
Heck, you'd never play Tannehill again.
Mm. Yeah, that's good advice. Let's hit some of these Joe Burrow questions. There's a few of them.
Sure.
Matt Ryan or Joe Burrow? I'd play Burrow.
Although
I kind of like that Atlanta New Orleans environment. Good game environment.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Atlanta, well, for Matt Ryan, is that they've been starting the game with a running mindset, which keeps Ryan from hitting those 45 pass attempt weeks.
Mm.
You know, those games are now like 38 pass attempts, which does matter. So that's a factor. I also think it's sort of a tough matchup. I would go Burrow, but that's a coin flip.
Yeah. You do have Ridley back this week, on the other side with Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how. I mean, Ridley had a pretty significant foot injury. I'm sort of in a wait and see mode on him. Like I think I have him as like wide receiver 24 or something like that. No. That's Michael Thomas. I pulled Thomas way down.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird taking a guy out of the top 10 and putting him almost into the wide receiver threes, but. You know, I'm sorry.
How many targets to play him all year, and now he finally comes back and he's got Taysom Hill.
You know? Michael Thomas is another bad beat. You didn't do anything wrong if you took Michael Thomas this year.
But yeah,
you're getting done dirty. There's no way around. Yeah.
We're going to take one more, and then a quick break, and then we'll do the lightning round. I'll end with this one before we break. 774, the Water Boy or Rudy? I'm the Water Boy on that one all day.
You mean which movie would I rather watch? I would rather watch Rudy.
Depends on the mood. I love the Water Boy. Anyway, Bobby Boucher. More Bobby Boucher talk in the lightning round coming up after the break.
It's New England's ultimate fantasy football experience. The Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson with the Fantasy Football Hour here at WEEI. I'm promising the lightning round with a bunch of texts coming in for your lineup questions. We're going to hit them right now. Pete, you ready?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Am I coming through? Mic was going dead.
Yeah, you sound good. You are, cool. Alive and breathing.
That Taysom Hill question?
Yeah. Oh, on Twitter.
You and I just got?
Yep.
Yeah. One thing that I just want to make sure people understand, like I think in DFS, Taysom Hill's sort of an interesting play, but you need to be careful and seasonal if you're in a game that really matters to you, because look, if the Saints fall behind a couple scores, they're probably going to switch QBs. You just have to remember that. So game flow could really cause you a lot of pain. There is a shaky floor if you start Hill. The upside, I think, is there, but if you've got a quarterback with a real floor, it's a much safer play. You play him in DFS, you lose. There's no carryover. If you have a really bad week in seasonal, that can hurt the rest of your season. Yeah. So you just have to be careful with it. That's my only point.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And in that situation, the texter was asking of, Taysom Hill or Ryan Tannehill, and you probably hear it in my voice at the top of the show. I'm probably a little bit more giddy on Hill than most, but I told him to play Tannehill, so.
I'm giddy to watch what goes down. Fantasy-wise, it's just a little bit of a nightmare. That's all.
True. True that. All right, 508. Let's pick two. He's got T. Higgins, Devontae Parker, and DJ Chark. I would go Higgins and Parker there, personally, for me.
Boy, that's tough.
I don't like Chark's matchup.
I can see that. I think that's. I think you could go either Shark or Parker based on what you want to do. I do think, to your point, Jim, the Steelers could just shut that thing down.
Right.
I think that's reasonable.
All right.
I'm with you. I'll go with your answer.
There you go. And by the way, listener, I could be a jaded Shark owner, so just keep that in your quiver as well as you roll through it. 7-8-1 in a PPR format. AP. Or the Duke. I'm taking the Duke against the Pats on that one.
Boy, that is.
But no, no Swift today. No Swift today for the Lions. So yeah,
it's really close. I think in PPR, definitely Duke.
Yeah.
If for some reason you're in a non PPR, I think you can make a pretty good argument for Peterson.
Yeah, it's a PPR format in that one.
Okay. I'd probably go Duke. It's close though.
It is. 7-8-1 PPR needs one of these three: Willie Snead, Dallas Goedert, or MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm leaning Goedert there, but
Scantling gives you the upside. Yeah. If you need 20 points, you'd play Scantling. Otherwise, I think Goedert. Goedert and Snead are pretty close, but I'd go Goddard.
Goddard's been a little, tricky and hasn't helped you.
But if you go off the last 3 weeks, you play Snead.
Yeah. Yeah, and Snead's been getting his, for sure.
Yeah, if you just want to go on recent trends, you play Snead. He scored twice last week. But if we assume that last week doesn't repeat itself and we just go with talent and situation, I'd probably go Goddard.
I'm with you.
Ertz is out again this week.
Yep. Yes, he is, as we mentioned at the top of the show. 7-8-1 PPR. He needs to sit one. You know what? This guy can't lose. I'll get back to that one. 6-1-7 Wentz or Alex Smith?
It's close. The QB2s are a very flat group. I've got Smith somewhere near 20, and I think I've got Wentz in the top 10, but in all honesty, it's really close. I would go Wentz. but it's close.
Yeah, you got, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you have no Myles Garrett on the Browns, so Wentz probably a little bit safer than he was.
Right.
I would go Wentz.
The thing about Alex Smith is he needs people to get some yak done for him, or it's a long day.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I don't think Alex Smith is going to add with his feet anymore. Wentz could. I'll go Wentz.
Yeah, me too. 508, 0.5 PPR. This is an interesting one. Jalen Reagor in the same game, CeeDee Lamb or Jonathan Taylor. 0.5 PPR.
One of those three?
Yeah.
I'd go Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. That's tough.
You could make an argument for Reagor upside, but you know, we haven't really seen it yet. The routes that Lamb runs work for what Andy Dalton does.
Mm.
And I think this is a game where you're playing a team without a pass rush that can't defend receivers. So unless Andy Dalton really continues to blank the bed, I think this is a week where Dalton works. I also think that, you know, Lamb fits what Dalton does. And so does Cooper, by the way.
Yeah,
so I would go Lamb.
I'm a little bit worried in Indy, too, with Jonathan Taylor, that whole situation with Nyheim Hines.
I didn't even think about saying Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, Taylor could have three long runs in a huge day, but they would need to change their disposition on him. You know, I mean, based on what the signals they're sending us on Taylor is that they don't trust him right now.
Yeah.
And he's not running it the way they want him to, period. Meanwhile, Hines is breaking plays and running it exactly the way they want him to.
Last time,
and
played him in front of the nation.
Right. And Rivers, befriends running backs. It's something he's done throughout his career. And clearly, he's now taking a liking to Hines. And all of their passing, you know, is short area passing. So, yeah.
I think trust Hines trust is the big word there. You hit it. I think Hines is the guy they trust. 617 quarterback question. This is a tricky one. Stafford, who's a little dinged up, Cousins or Jared Goff? I think I'm leaning Cousins there.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's risky because if they can run, they could turn it into a run show all day. But I think to the extent that Cousins throws today, he's going to do really well.
Yep. Irv Smith's back too, which I forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah,
in
that
the show.
Helps a little. How good is Justin Jefferson, by the way?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Yeah, let's take a Jefferson question. Let's see how good he is. 9-7-8 standard scoring. Justin Jefferson or Jacoby Myers? You're taking Jefferson there, buddy. Take Jefferson.
I would take Jefferson because I think Myers is going to have Roby on him a lot today, and that could slow him down a little bit.
It's also standard scoring, so you don't get that PPR like volume.
Yep.
Jefferson could take
Even
it
more.
To the house. And
Even
then
more,
same guy's got a running back question: Kalen Ballage or Nyheim Hines, who we just talked about.
That's close.
Yeah.
That's really close. I think Ballage is actually safer. They've pretty much said he's going to get 80% of the stuff. So I'd probably play Ballage. Yep. He's got a good matchup.
Former Jet.
I like both plays.
Former Jet against the Jet. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. NFL Sunday's coming up with Wiggy, Fourier, and Keefe. You can hit Pete at Rotobon and me at WEEI Hacksaw for any questions we didn't hit. And go Pats. Have a great week.
Go get them Sunday, all right?
Thank you, Greg.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.